past Friday, I had a neat experience. I had a friend call me up and said, "You want to go out for lunch?" That's not the neat experience. I mean, going out to lunch is always a cool experience for me, especially when someone pays your way. It makes it even nicer. But I said, "Sure, I'll go." He said, "Let's go get a fish sandwich somewhere." And I said, "That's cool. I want a good fish sandwich somewhere. It's hard to find a good fish sandwich, you know?" So he said, "Okay, let's go." And then he just takes off, and I didn't know where he was going. I said, "Well, some of the places I knew around in the area here in St. Matthew's area, you know, he was going right past to get on the expressway." Before I realized that we're downtown. And then I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going to Porkland Barbecue." Anybody heard Porkland Barbecue? It's in Portland, downtown. Porkland is the name of the place. It's a barbecue place and a fish place. So I said, "Okay, that'd be interesting, try something new, try to find new places to eat. I like doing that stuff." So we go in. It happens to be on 26th Street, which is at the basement of a school, an old school, St. Cecilia's Church. Any parishioners from St. Cecilia from way back? No, but you know it's the old church downtown and all that. It now was sold to become Good Shepherd, one of those merger churches. But anyway, the barbecue place, which is Porkland Barbecue, is in the old school next to the St. Cecilia Church, St. Cecilia's. So we went in, and it's a really modest place. You know, they don't fix much of that up. It's just basically paint on a wall, and the furnishings are just kind of taken from wherever they can find chairs and tables and stuff like that. It's not like a real nice dining area. It's a very simple, humble place to eat. And it was kind of cool to be in a place where you don't have to worry about, you know, messing up the tablecloth. So we're sitting there eating and that, you know. And I noticed on the wall there's these flying pigs, you know, pigs with wings. And I thought, "Well, this is weird, you know, but that's pork." And I guess they're trying to get the heavenly sense of pork, but I've realized it's not really that at all. So as we're sitting down there and eating, I ordered a fish sandwich, and it was really good. But then it was brought over to me by the owner of the place. His name is Sean. And as he brought it over, he sits there, and one of those guys who wants to sit down and welcome you to his place. It's only been operating for like 2 years and all, and he's just there to build up Portland. That's kind of his mission. He said, "I asked my wife years ago, what are we doing with our lives?" And they began to kind of think of what they could do and what's happening and all this stuff, but they decided to buy a house and move from Crescent Hill all the way down to Portland and renovate a house. You know, everybody's in a renovation now. So they were renovating this old house. And they were doing that for a couple years, and after they got that completed, they were told, by the way, which they didn't know when they bought this old dilapidated house, "You also got the building next to it. We'll throw it in. It's a huge gym, a big center. But it sits right about 9 feet away from their house. But that's yours too." And said, "Oh." But they're thinking, like, what are we going to do with this big place here? All we wanted was a house. We wanted to get into Portland and kind of bring some life back to Portland. Before they realized, everybody thought, this house was kind of in our, this place, this gym area, was put into our hands for a reason. So they said, "Let's just follow where God's going to take us." And he was telling us this story. It was kind of neat. If you ever want to know the story, all you have to do is get on Google, you know, Love City, Louisville, because they call that area down there where he's at Love City. His whole point was to bring love back into a community that's died off. And you do it by offering people a new sense of worth and value. Not by going in there and changing things up and making it look like $1 million and bringing in new kind of stuff, but taking what's already there, the richness of that tradition of that place, and celebrating it. And those people have had nothing to celebrate for years. It's a real frightening place to live for years. It's not anymore. But we're sitting here hearing this story, and Sean's telling us a story and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just kind of amazed at it as I'm eating my fish sandwich. And it was kind of a remarkable story about a man who had a mission to do something worthwhile of his life. And he and his wife are doing that right now. And that's a real, you know, leap of faith. to do something like that. I thought about that when I walked in there. It's amazing how it's grown to the point when you walk into this humble little setting there, I noticed the tables were pretty well filled. There were about 6 or 7 college kids sitting down there enjoying their meal. It only cost about $5 for a fish sandwich, which is cheap, you know. And then along with that, there were these 2 bankers in their suits sitting over in the corner eating their fish sandwich. And there was a group of women, probably about 15 women, that were all together. And I found out they were in a halfway house that come over there and share the meal together, all in Portland. And then there were some kids with their families there. And then there was an electrician that showed up from work, and he was there. And the locals came on over. And it was filled with just a tremendous atmosphere of people who just loved to be there, the city of love. They were just enjoying a meal. I remember when I asked the guy, I said, "What really got you to doing all this stuff?" He said, "You Catholics?" I said, "What do you mean, you Catholics?" And he said, "Your fish fries. The best thing you got is a hidden secret that very few churches know how to develop is fish fries. Because that's when you really find a community at fish fries. Not your picnics, your fish fries." And I thought that was kind of an interesting comment that this non-Catholic made a statement about. But Sean was just really taken over by his sense of wanting to do something worthwhile. His mission was to make a difference. And I was really kind of taken back by that. That story was really on my mind as I was even picking up the scriptures for today. And you might ask yourself, how in the world do those two fit? Well, I read the gospel today, the one you just heard read here, and it really hit me. Jesus, in his early life, was trying to find his mission. He's trying to go, what is it? Right after his baptism, what am I really going to do? What am I really going to make an impact on? He had to kind of come to an awareness of it as well. And the story that we have in our scripture today is that he went to the synagogue in Capernaum and he started to preach, as the reading says. And the people that were there, the locals, were like, "Ooh, this guy's cool. You know, he's saying some really good stuff." And they liked it. And they were more intrigued with it until all of a sudden he made a statement that kind of drew their attention back. He said, "I'm not worried about you Jews." He said, "I'm not here to really kind of worry about you. I'm not really here worried about your neighbors even. I'm here for the outsiders, for the misfits, for those who don't fit, for those who don't have a chance. My mission is for those people." Remember last Sunday what he said? "Who's my mother? Who's my father?" Oh, it's these people. He was making a statement that he's becoming aware of what his mission is and what he has to do. How is he going to make a difference? Not by doing these miracles in front of people, which he was really being impressive of, but people saw him, that locals loved it. Man, this guy's in our midst. Remember, he's Joseph's kid. We all know Joe. And this guy's a really cool guy. He's going to really make us feel great. If he can do miracles like this, man, we can go to the top. We want it to be subservient to anybody anymore. But that's when Jesus stopped him and said, "You know, I'm not here for you locals. I'm here for us. I just don't want to belong to you guys. I want to learn how to identify with you guys." What was the reaction? There's probably a reaction. We thought nobody would do that, but we'd do that today. The Nazarenes got all upset when they heard that he wasn't there for us. He's not for our little community. They got all upset and they start saying, "Get rid of him. He's not worth anything. If he's not going to help me in my space and what I want and what we need, we don't need this dude anymore." And that's when all of a sudden they did that remarkable thing. They pushed him out of town and took him to the top of the the cliff and they were going to throw him over head first. They were going to kill him because you're not one of us. Just because he was trying to be sensitive to all the others. That's a powerful statement. Because today, look at our lives. We're probably like those Nazarenes who's sitting back there in our little comfort zone. We like our little community. We got our own little space. We even know where we're going to sit in church. This is where we belong. When all of a sudden some outsiders come in, that makes us uncomfortable. Because we're very comfortable putting fences up and keeping those people who just don't fit within our lives. It's very easy to see that today. You know what I'm talking about. We do that with our faith. We do that with our expression of our communities. We like to belong to something, and that's cool. But don't have me identify with another person. That's where it gets rough. Let me show you. I'm big on props. You know that. I bring props in all the time. I've got a prop to help you understand what was Jesus trying to say when he said, I came into this world not just to belong to you people, I came into this world to identify with each and every one of you, each and every one of you. Let me show you what I mean. What's the real difference between belonging to a group and identifying with a group? Two images. This means to belong. I'm an alumni of Notre Dame, proud to be. A lot of people wear this hat, though, you know, and they've seen the walls of Notre Dame at all. That's cool, because people want to belong. They want to be a part of. ND means something to me. And I don't have to be step one foot in that place. But I'm very comfortable just wearing this hat, and everybody says, oh, you're a big Notre Dame fan. Yeah, yeah, and you can talk all the Notre Dame talk. I thought about bringing a U of L and UK hat in, but today I didn't want to do any of that. So I try to go neutral with this. This is what it means to belong to something. Yeah, I belong to Notre Dame. I'm one of their best fans. I'm a part of them. I'm a member of. But that's all where it stays. What about this? The difference between belonging and this. As I show you this, listen to the room. You put it on your head. Do you hear the room change when I showed that? There was a smile and there was a, oh, can do that. This means I commit to something. This means that I identify with. This means I'm out there, have a mission, not just to be on a team, but to pay for a cause, for a purpose, for a school. To stand up for. This just means I belong. This kind of states I'm in there. I can identify because I feel the pains in my bones. I got the emotions when the energy goes in the field. I got my classmates I suffer with. I see those guys on the field with me, suck it up. This says, I identify with you. This says, I'm just a part of you. Now you see where Jesus was going. I came in this world not just to belong. I came in this world to identify. And my mission is to identify with everybody. Not just to be a part of. And be comfortable and relaxed. This is an authentic helmet, by the way, if you want to know. I had to borrow it from a friend of mine because I didn't play football. Now, that doesn't mean you got to go play football either. I'm just trying to get the idea of committing to something, identifying with something. That guy that I went and had lunch with, or he was talking to me, that owns that Love City. As we were sitting around and he was talking to a lot of different people, they were asking him, how did you get into this stuff? Or what got you to do this stuff? And you know what he said? Love. Love. He said, I'm not a chef, but I can grill. I'm not an artist, but I can paint a wall. I'm not an organizer, but I can open up a gym. All I can do is just love people. And he said something that was fascinating. He said, it all comes down to just one word besides love, which is love. He said, God. And then he said, look at it, God. I didn't even think about it, but he said, God. G-O, go. Put another O at the end, go do. When you learn to go do, it's good. And when it's good, it's love. And when it's love, you got a purpose. Thank God I had fish sandwich that day. But thank God I was able to understand why we should not just belong to a church, but we really need to start identifying with it, with all its members, with all its needs, and even beyond the four walls. That's why Christ came. And you might ask yourself, you know, I don't know if I can do that. I like my little place here. I don't know if I'm going to pick up my roots and go all the way down to Portland. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can identify with everybody that comes in contact with you by learning how to love. Now, did you remember the second reading? You hear that at every wedding. It was very abstract. Love is kind. Love is patient. Here's what I suggest you to do if you want to know how to find a mission right in your own world. How you want to learn how to identify. Just do this. It changes the perception a lot. Take that reading that we just heard, the second reading from Paul to the Corinthians, about what love is. Scratch out the word love and put the word I. Put you in that first sentence. You want to hear what it sounds like? I am patient. I am kind. I'm not envious. I don't boast. I'm not proud. I'm not rude. I'm not self-seeking. I don't get easily angered. I will not keep records of wrong. I will not delight in evil things, but I'll rejoice in the truth. I will always protect. I will always trust. I will always hope. I will always persevere. Love each other. Don't make it an abstract principle that you live by. Do it the way you just treat each other. And then you can build up the Portlands of your life. And you'll start putting pigs on a wall with wings, because pigs can fly. God bless y'all.